keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Hi, this is Brad Fiddler, and you're listening to the Final Hooter.
Yeah, it's on loverugby.com and Radio General. Thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the equipment to make me and you sound professional. Adrian Jackson, David Parkinson talking rugby league.
Sunday, Dave.
And we've had a double dose of rugby league, haven't we?
And Brad Fittler's back.
When
did you get him to do that?
A long time ago.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Great to hear from him anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, this is the time of year that we love. Players hate it generally, but we love it.
According to John Wilkham, we'll hear from John Wilkham very shortly. He does, and he loves it.
Yeah, that's because he's getting on a bit now, and he doesn't have to train as much, does he? But, you know, that's just part of the plan, isn't it? But it is almost rugby league heaven, isn't it, for us rugby league fans?
Australian coaches don't like the double dose of Easter rugby league, but hey, we don't care.
Hey, you know, you just got to get on with it, haven't you? Everybody knows that it happens every single year. Everybody plays two games at this time of year. Well, not quite everybody.
League One, never.
I know.
What happened there?
Exactly.
They obviously decided they were too stuffed up on Easter eggs to play a game of rugby league on Easter Monday.
Yeah, I think they tried it in the Championship as well. With
a few years ago, didn't they?
One game over the Easter period.
But you seem to think maybe the way forward in Super League is to do the same thing.
Possibly. Yeah, that would certainly quit half of the problems that you get with people moaning about the situation, wouldn't you? But I just feel that if you spread it all throughout the weekend, so you've got your six fixtures, your derbies, you could have, one on the Thursday night on the telly, one on Good Friday, two on the Saturday, maybe one on the Sunday. Spread it out.
Didn't you do that in the last round of Super League? On Good Friday week? Lots of derbies?
There was lots of derbies, yeah. But then we had Easter Monday, didn't we? So it was like, have that. So for some teams, they didn't get much of a respite.
Like I said, John Wilkin likes it because he meant he doesn't train. But we'll hear from John Wilkin very shortly. Let's bring you up to date with everything that's been happening within the world of rugby league over the last 2 weeks since the last podcast, shall we?
I like your roundups.
Huddersfield Giants sadly said to Rick Stone, "You're not the man for us." So Chris Foreman is the man in charge for the time being. One of the two big names being linked with that job. Tony Smith's name keeps popping up into the conversation regarding that vacancy.
Do you think he's got a point to prove, though?
He still lives in the area. Maybe that's where people are coming up with the idea that Tony might want the job.
Listen, just because he might have nipped out for a paper or gone and got some milk for his cat doesn't necessarily mean that he actually wants a job back in rugby league. He was very adamant about that last year, wasn't he?
He said,
I have had enough of everything, all the politics, everything. I'm walking away with my conscience clear.
Last I heard, he was working for the FA.
Yeah, he's probably getting a bit of a watch of cash, isn't he, from a football association, to be fair.
So we'll watch that space regarding the Huddersfield job. There's also a vacancy, well, there was, at North Wales, and they decided Mike Grady wasn't the man for them. But it sees the return of Anthony Murray.
Yeah, I was very surprised when I read the two press releases within the space of 24 hours there, because they actually said, we'll take our time and come up with the decision. And 24 hours later, Anthony Murray's back. Muzza's back,
second spell.
I have to admit, I'm glad about that, because I thought he did a really, really good job last time that he was there. He ended up in one season having to get three teams on the park because things kept happening, didn't they? And how he kept those players together was a tremendous respect to him. And nice to see, I know it wasn't really mentioned in the press release other than a quick one-liner, but Alan Hadcroft coming back into the game as well. He was an assistant coach to Anthony Murray last time at North Wales Crusaders. Also did a stint at Lee as well on the coaching staff.
So can Muzza return the success back to the Crusaders?
You know what? And I'm going to sound like I'm regurgitating the press release here, but he knows the place, doesn't he?
He does.
He knows the place. He knows a lot of the players because he was the guy that brought him in the first place. And he knows his onions, doesn't he? I mean, he's a very, very experienced coach. He was over at Siddle for a very short spell. Had that stint as well in the Midlands with Gloucester, didn't he?
Yeah.
And, I think the time is right. It's Muzza time. Let's call it that.
You mentioned Alan Hadcroft returning there as well. You also mentioned Stephen Wild making the return back.
Yeah, great to see him back in rugby league as well. He was a good player, wasn't he? I remember him, doing his stuff over at Salford. And
Wigan.
Wigan, being a really good competitor. And if he can take that into his coaching, I think it's like a conditioning and strength role, isn't it,
yeah,
that he's been appointed there. And of course, good to see Johnny Leather continue as well, who, you know, for me was possibly a bit of the cement that was holding things together there.
Beast from the East struck again, didn't it? Match has been postponed.
Yeah, I'm still defrosting from it.
Snow in Wakefield, played 20 minutes, and then the referee decided enough's enough. But did you see the footage?
I did. You couldn't actually tell who was playing, could you? It was really heavy blizzard conditions.
Plenty of games postponed there. And then at Easter, we had a throwback to conditions resembling Winter Rugby League. I mean, Warrington and Castleford, what on earth is going on there?
Yeah, we've hardly got away from it, to be honest.
Over the
first 8 weeks of the season, it's chucked everything at us, hasn't it?
It has.
But this is what you get when you start your season in February, isn't it?
It is.
Great delight of the British weather. I did like those conditions, and I'm sure that he needed some water wings, didn't he, Toby King, when he went
did.
Over.
I don't think he fancied getting a mouthful of water as he went in for the try, put it that way.
And to be fair as well, some of those kicks where they just sort of soot in the middle of a puddle like a big duck on the surface.
But Casper had to do it twice, though, because he had the same conditions in Wakefield on the Thursday.
Yeah, well, that's their own fault for coming from Castleford, isn't it, basically, in that area. It's not our fault that it rained.
No.
Well, all I will say, it rains on the just and unjust alike.
Yeah, so not a good weekend for Castleford regarding that game against Warrington, but they've been happy to have come through that test at Wakefield, so Tigers still on track as such. And that's about it in the world of Rugby League.
Well, you've not mentioned the Wigan Saints derby.
Oh, the Wigan Saints derby. How can I forget the Wigan Saints derby?
What a game that was.
What a match.
And you didn't mention the Warrington and Widnes derby. What a match.
What a match, yeah.
For Warrington.
For Warrington, not a good one for Widnes.
And, you know, what else didn't you mention? I can't think.
Plenty of things have happened in Rugby League. Everyone says nothing really happens, but it does.
It does.
We'll try and keep you updated as the season progresses.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Okay, we mentioned the fact there is a load of derby games that took place on Good Friday. Round 8 of Super League, 2 rounds of Super League to talk about. And wins over the Friday and Thursday, Castleford in the mud bath at Wakefield coming through 11-6. On Friday, big win for Salford against the Cast Iron Dragons, 32-16. The Humberside derby, Hawkinson Rovers disappointed with the fact that they didn't defeat a 12-man Hull team, losing out 30 points to 22. Warrington, too good for Widnes on the day, 32-18. A draw, no one saw this one. Huddersfield 22, Leeds Rhinos 22. And late drama between St Andrews versus Wigan. Wigan coming back into the game, levelling it up, and then before they knew it, it gone again.
Smashing games right across the board, really, to be honest, Adrian. And I'm particularly impressed with Salford showing against Catalans. They really did put them to the sword, didn't they?
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, Hull Kingston Rovers seem pretty disappointing so far this season. I expected better of them. I mean, they had one of the biggest squads in professional rugby, didn't they, heading back to Super League?
Yes.
But
big Mossy Massow.
Yeah, it's not really happened for him so far, has it?
Record attendance for the fixture, by the way, 12,090, the highest attendance at Craven Park. I know it's called something else these days, but we'll stick with Craven Park.
Yeah, why not? Or is it not New Craven Park?
New Craven. I think they dropped the new, haven't they?
Oh, did they?
It's over 20 years old now, surely.
Well, no, but the other place was called Craven Park as well, wasn't it?
New Craven Park.
Nah, it's always going to be
the K-Com.
The K-Com. It's always going to be the New Craven Park to me, anyway.
Actually moved over to Easter Monday, round 9, the Super League. Another win for Warrington, this time in the wet conditions at Castleford, 18-6. Wigan made it a miserable Easter for Hawkinson Rovers, defeating the Rovers 44-6. Leeds Rhinos got back to winning ways, defeating Salford 20-0. Hull FC won a cracker against Wakefield, 27-26. Wakefield would be disappointed because they were way ahead at one point.
Yeah, they were. I think it was 18-8 at half time. So, you know, for Hull to fight back and crown it all with a drop goal of some magnitude as well. It was 52 metres, I think it was, from inside his own half. Sneed of all people.
Oh, what a surprise. Vikings not good enough on the day. St Helens showing that they're going to be the real deal this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that certainly it was almost like watching the Ben Barber show, wasn't it?
The magician, they call him.
He was just able to find so much space.
The magic man.
The Magic Man. Right, okay. I'll just call him Ben Barber, shall I?
Ben Barber, yes. Catalans, well, Steve McManara will be relieved that his team got back to winning ways against an injury-hit Huddersfield team.
Yeah, I thought they were quite good, actually. In the early point of the second half, they scored three quick-fire tries, which put them on course. And, yeah, it's probably given Steve McManara a bit of a reprieve, to be honest, because he's already had the dreaded vote of confidence.
Yeah, that's
so he just needs to keep finding wins and performances from somewhere. And it's a bit of a start for Catalans, because they have been, over the course of the year so far, awful.
That's putting it politely.
Well, you know, I don't want to mince my words. What's the point in mincing words?
Why not? We mentioned the big win for Wigan. St Helens against Wigan. Let's hear from Justin Holbrook as he caught up with our man, Steve Manning.
Well, Justin Holbrook, games are great the best of time, but when you win a game like that, you must be over the moon.
Oh, absolutely. You know, really, really proud of the boys and you know, just ecstatic to win that game. I thought it was a cracking game of rugby league and one I'm really pleased to win. We obviously had the better of the first half and unlucky not to poke our nose in front further, but to Wigan's credit, they come back and, as you said, they played really well to get in front and our boys dug really deep and come up, you know, with a try late to win. So, yeah, it was, as I said, a cracking game of rugby league.
That was a hell of a booming pass from Johnny to Reagan, because quite honestly, he got it and dropped on it. He didn't need to have to thinking time, because perhaps he'd have had that thinking time, he could have gone into touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and that was he had a busy game tonight, Reeves. He did more running than he's ever done, so he'll sleep well tonight.
And they came back with the try. Perhaps they should have gone for the restart, which they didn't, but the killer blow, Danny Richardson's drop goal after that touchline conversion, which I've seen him, and you've seen him do many times. I've seen him do it at Academy.
Yeah, well, great little player, isn't he? And he did some special things for us today, so it was awesome to see Danny play so well.
And it's all about opinions. I thought, to me, the man of the match for yourself for John Wilkie in that first 30 minutes. He was here, there, everywhere.
Yeah, he's been brilliant, Wilkie. He played fantastic last week and backed it up again today. For his 400th game, so what a special win for him.
Justin Holbrook, certainly. He's got the same talent playing the style of rugby league. That's really exciting.
He has, but he's combined it with that old Aussie mantra of defend, 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 hasn't he? Because they don't really give a lot away, St Helens.
No.
And it's just something that he's been able to sort of really get lined up since he's gone in there. And I find it really impressive, not just the work of the magic man, like you mentioned, Ben Barber, but also the work that other people have done, the likes of Danny Richardson really leading the line at the tender years of 20 years of age.
It shows how good he is. You're keeping the England international Matty Smith kicking his ears on the bench.
Yeah, and you know, he deserves all the plaudits that have gone his way, because he's had to work extremely hard, because he's obviously been third-choice halfback there at the start of the season, and he's made himself number one. So that just shows exactly what he's done. Justin Holbrook's to be congratulated for throwing his faith at him. And I suppose as well, they are the best side in the competition with someone like James Rowe. I know I keep mentioning I'm a member of that
400, James. Was it his 450th game?
He's got a huge amount of games. He's got a huge amount in front of him still, because I think that he's just reaching his peak, and that's what we're talking about.
But he's not losing his form, without a doubt. So, rumours are, within the world of rugby, that Matty Smith could be going Catalans or Salford on loan.
That's a bit of a mixture, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Where do you want to go? By the Manchester Ship Canal or down south of France?
Let's go the Med.
Oh, you know, a bit of Perpignan.
Yeah, why not?
He'll be disappointed, won't he, Matty Smith, the fact that he's not gone in the team this season at St Helens. But listen, he's a top class professional, isn't he? So I'm sure that he'll have been doing everything that he can to get in the team, but also to help the players that are currently in his spot.
Another top class professional at St Helens is John Wilkin. 400 games not out for the Saints.
He's been there a long while, hasn't he?
He's been there that long. Everyone forgets he started off at Hull Kingston Rovers in the Championship.
Yeah, I was just about to say, he's not bad for a Hull lad, is it? Living on the other side of the... Well, you can almost say the other side of the world, can't you? But he's been a top class professional as well, and you're quite right to highlight that.
Let's hear from him as he spoke about that win against Widnes.
Well, we were delighted to come here and play well. Widnes are a tough side. They obviously rested a few today. We wanted to come here and get the 3 points. Everyone plays it different over Easter. We wanted to keep things moving and keep going, and we thought we did that today. You know, good competitive game. In parts, first half was tough, and we just managed to cruise away in that second half.
Must be pleased to have backed them up with the win against Wigan as well.
Yeah, because it was a tough game against Wigan, and it takes a lot out of you, I think, emotionally as much as physically. But once you get your head around the fact you're playing on Monday, and look, it just doesn't change how you approach the game. It's just a shorter turnaround. With all recovery methods and whatnot now in the modern game, it's designed to recover quickly and play again, so we're happy to do so.
Quick fire start as well, and that certainly set the stage to get the job done.
We just competed hard at the start. I think people might look at that and think we were fortunate, but Matt Percival didn't give up, you know, Ben Barber didn't give up on kicks, and I think there's a lot to be said for just competing hard. We've been doing that all year and we did it again today.
A lot of people seem to like Ben Barber. What's he like to play alongside?
Yeah, he's a diamond bloke. He, first and foremost, a good fella, and he loves the game. He watches rugby religiously and finds space and creates opportunities. I mean, what more do you want from a fullback than that?
Exactly, yeah. And Tommy Makinson, 100th try for St Helens today.
Yeah, and he'll have many more. And he's an international standard winger, and I think he's, you know, he's really knocking on that England door with how he's playing. I think he's been incredible for us this year. There's not a guy I'd rather see carrying that ball and play 2 and 3 than Tommy Makinson at the moment in the league.
Yourself, how do you feel you went?
Yeah, good, mate. Happy. Played obviously a fair few minutes today, and after backing up against Wigan, I'm happy to do so. I love it. Like, I love Easter. As a player, it's the best time of year for me because you just get to play. No training. Get too old for that training. Like, I just like playing.
Set shot nicely for the game against Hull.
Yeah, tough game against Hull. Look, I think Hull go well, and quite an aggressive side, so we've got to play well. It's pointless doing the business the last two games and then let ourselves down at Hull. But,
keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
He's right in the year. It's no point doing the business against Wigan and Widnes if you're going to let yourself down against Hull.
Yeah, and at risk of coming up with another Rugby League cliche, it's always that third game that gets you.
Oh, that third game's the one.
That third game is always the one. Always.
Steve Price, new coach at Warrington, he's always been saying it's work in progress. They're going to get better as the games go on. And he's been quite happy with the way Easter went.
He will, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we are going to hear from him in just a second. Yeah. I know he was happy with Monday. I'd imagine that he was ecstatic with the way that he's gone, because it was a real slow burning start, wasn't it, for his term at Warrington.
It was against Widnes, because they were 10-0 down at one point.
Yeah, I noticed that when the scores were coming through when I was sat over at Swinton.
Good Friday at Swinton, what a venue, what a delight.
It is, you know, you've been there.
Exactly.
See, my mate Ian Rigg does his level best for all the press members that turn up, doesn't he?
They even give out chocolate bars at half time.
Yeah, Lion bars. Can we name check them? Yeah. Just have done.
Other chocolate bars are available. Yeah, back to Warrington, 10-0 down, but second half, outstanding. Once they went through the gears, Widnes really struggled.
And I know you were telling me before we started that Widnes just seemed to be really struggling to gain any sort of traction. And to be honest, if you're going 10-0 up against your nearest and dearest, you should be getting on with the job there, shouldn't you? So, but we must credit Warrington for the way that they fought back and the way that they took control of that game. And I'm sure it was a very enjoyable one for all the Warrington fans in attendance.
Happy with that, Steve?
Yeah, I was. It was a good result there. Scored 32 points. We scored last 2 weeks over 30, and I just thought we were a little bit clunky in the first half, lacking a little bit of finesse. And we come into the sheds at half time, spoke about a few things what we need to improve, and challenged the boys on that. Got a really good response from them, and it's a credit to them, with the end result.
And a great start to the second half again, just like last week.
Yeah, it was. We started to get a little bit of speed onto the ball and worked really hard with our finesse and locking in people what we spoke about throughout the week. Then it just started to challenge the defence, and then the points come.
Josh Charnley on debut today. Two great finishes.
Yeah, it was. Wouldn't be too many wingers who'd score those two tries. They were outstanding, especially when there were bodies in front of him to find a way. So. He's a special player. That's one of the reasons why we brought Josh to our footy club. And a special mention to Benny Westwood. I thought he was super today, and also to the last couple of weeks, he's building into his game nicely.
It must be great to bring so many big fellas off the bench as well. If you look at the size of your bench compared to Widnes' bench today.
Yeah, we're very very fortunate. I thought our rotation system worked quite effective today, and had the opportunity to spell Des Clark at the back end of the game too. Get right for Monday against Castleford. So we pulled through pretty good, no injuries, but overall a really good result.
And now it's down to the performance staff to get everybody ready for Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. The boys are straight into recovery now after David Lloyd's, and you know, got captain's run on Sunday and got a really big game on Monday down at Castleford.
What did you make of Castleford after last night?
Tough conditions. They done what they had to do to get the result, and that's what you know, as a coach, ask from your men in those type of conditions. They were extremely tough conditions, but hopefully we can get a dry track come Monday.
Well,
keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Sadly for Steve Price, the Easter Bunny did not produce a dry track for them at Castleford.
I had to laugh. That's why I left that quote in there, because I knew that, you know, it was so bad, those conditions at Castleford. Yeah. And probably, had it been any other day, that game would have got called off, wouldn't it?
Without a doubt. But the game was played, and I'm sure Darryl Powell was hoping the game would have been called off, but not to be.
Yeah, yeah. I think that they've still got a couple to fit in the schedule, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, so he wouldn't be wanting another one called off.
They fell foul to the Beast from the East 1 and 2.
and then a bit of a water splash.
And then the water splash, yeah. Let's step down into the Championship, shall we? Good Easter, bad Easter. Who had a good Easter?
Good Easter's for Toronto, 2 out of 2. For Lee Centurions, who's been our team of trouble so far this season. And for Batley Bulldogs, getting that win in the derby and then going and doubling up their efforts against Sheffield Eagles.
Who had a bad Easter?
Oh, Rochdale Hornets, sadly.
Oh, Killer won't be happy with that.
Sadly, 2 losses for Alan Kilshaw there. And surprisingly, London Broncos, who prior to this, they were your tip.
Going great guns, weren't they?
They were. Can't believe it. The wheels have fallen off in 2 weeks, haven't they?
Yeah, and unfortunately for them, it's teams, again, it was against the teams who's going to be challenging them in that race for a top four finish.
Yeah, it's almost like it's just about opened up that top four race again, hasn't it? Those couple of results, because it's just pegged London back a little bit. But I'm sure that they'll be looking to improve.
Let's say a big hello to Jay Pitts. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how are you doing?
Jay Pitts, captain of the London Broncos. And up until Good Friday, Jay, on the field, you're having a fantastic season.
Yeah, we started really well, to be fair. We've just come up short in the last 2 games. We haven't played the conditions very well, and they've been beaten by two better teams, to be fair. We killed ourselves in both them games, but... they're done now, so we have to move on to the next one, and which is Halifax, which is a massive game for us.
You mentioned the testing conditions, and my word, the weather was appalling on both occasions.
Yeah, massively. Yeah, and we needed to be a lot better with them as well. We completed around 50-60% in both games, which is nowhere near good enough against any team, and especially against a Toulouse team and a Lee team. So we're bitterly disappointed that we performed like that, but it's something that we learn from. We have to get over and work really hard to make sure that it doesn't happen in coming games.
Just shows how competitive the Championship is and how it's going to be for the rest of the season.
Yeah, massively. It's a really competitive competition. Anybody on the day can test you if you're off a little bit, and it's proved in the last 2 games really, with us being off a little bit, not being to our standards that we normally are, and we've been beaten, and rightly so as well, because both teams played the conditions better than what we did and we got what we deserved.
Let's not get too stuck on that, by the way, Jay, because it's been a brilliant opening to the season, like you say. And tell us a bit about these younger players that are coming through, because the Broncos certainly have a number of real young go-getters, don't they, this year in the squad?
Yeah, definitely, and I don't think there's many teams that have as many home-based players coming through as what London do, to be fair. I think it goes under the radar quite a bit. We've got a great set with the 16s down there and the under-19s, which are really progressing really well, and we've got some really good players that are going to come through in the next few years. But in the squad at the moment, we've got a hell of a lot of players that have jumped up and really had to stood up as well, and they're really pushing players around and acting like they're not young lads as well at all. They're in the team and they're there to do a job, and they are all standing up and doing the job, and Warriors put faith in them. If they play well and do the job to the best of their ability, then they'll play. So the competition's from academy players all the way up to the senior players, so it's really good, really. It's a really healthy competition and everyone's buying into it.
Now, Danny Ward is the new manager. He stepped into the hot seat at the start of it. And what do you think he's done differently to what maybe Andrew Henderson was doing?
It's hard to put something on it, really. There's a lot of belief in the team. It's just about us doing his own job and a lot of tightness in the group. a lot of chopping and changing last year, and we had a lot of players coming in and out, and we've just got a really good core of good players that want to work for each other. And in the first few games, you could see that a little bit, and well, you could see that a lot, to be fair. We just worked for each other and never gave up on anything, which really benefited us, and we've got to find a way to get back to that, really. So I think he's just brought a lot of belief to the team, a lot of composure. And like I say, you could see in the earlier rounds that we brought that to the competition. We've just gone away from it in these last couple of games when things haven't gone our way as much. So we've got to combat that and be able to find a way to get over that.
Certainly the Bronco fans are buying into it, because the attendances are slowly increasing.
Yeah, massively. And that comes down to as well our performances in the first few rounds being really well, but also because we've been at at Trailfinders Stadium now for a good few years now, so we've got a base to where the fans know where we are. So in the past, we've London have moved around quite a few times and things like that, and fans and that have got a bit frustrated with us moving around and things, but now we've got a good stable stadium and the fans know where we are, and we're really marketing that around London, around Ealing, to be able to know that this is where we are, this is our home, and everyone's welcome to come, and people are really getting behind that, which is credit to London as a club and everybody around the place.
And are you settling into life down there as well?
Yeah, it is. It's really good, mate. I'm really enjoying it. Northern lad, really. I've probably not gone away from home that much, really. So it was a big move for me when I went down there, but I've slotted in and I love it a bit. So it's a great place to go. It's a great place to play, to be fair. It's a great place to live. London, everything's there. And the club's really going forward as well. The players, the facilities are first class. The academy structure is doing really well as well. So it's really progressing down there, and it's a really positive place to be at the moment.
As a Northern lad, have you tried the jelly deals yet?
No, I haven't. No, it sounds a bit. I don't think I want to, be fair.
See, cutting rugby league journalism right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just what we want to know, that type of stuff, really. Yeah. What I want to know is how you've settled into the captain's role.
It was a massive shock to me, to be fair, because obviously I had no idea about it. I was just doing pre-season as normal, doing my own job and that, and I just got brought in and told them she's giving me the captaincy, which is a massive honour, and it's the highlight of my playing career by quite a bit, to be fair. To be able to represent these lads down there is a massive honour for me, and I'm really proud of it. So I'm enjoying it, really. I really am. It's something that I think is only going to boost my career, and hopefully I'm going to get the best out of the players that I play with, and I try my best to do it for the lads, and try to represent London Broncos the best I can now.
Dave mentioned the youngsters that are coming through. What names can we look out for in the future?
You've got quite a few, to be fair. You've got Jimmy Meadows has jumped up this year, the young halfback. He's been really, really, really good for us. You've got Sam Davis, who's a nugget, a little hooker, who's just like his brother Matt Davis. So you've got him jumping up as well, which is a really good player. You've got a back row called Daniel Highmarsh, who's there's a big fella that'll probably be coming through in the next year or so. You got Sadiq Adeji as well, who's down there, who's really good. You got a lot of players down there, mate. They'll probably come through.
It shows that you are getting the message out there to players to come and have a go of rugby league.
Yeah, massively. Yeah, and that's the big thing, really, to get players playing rugby league down there. Obviously, it's not the first sport down there. You've got football, you've got rugby union and that, and we really want to spread the word about rugby league down there, because the community stuff that we're doing is massive down there, and people really enjoy it as well. So the more we can spread of it, the more people can get playing. The only way it's going to grow, really, and that's what we have to do, and that's what we are doing.
I suppose the challenge for you though on the field is to maintain how you've started this season.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we've had two bit of bringing us back down to earth now with the last two games, and we now need to kick on again now. So actually, it's no tougher than going to Halifax away on Sunday. So we have to really grit our teeth, get back to work, and get back on the horse and start taking every game as it comes. Just making sure that we are taking every game one by one and not looking too far ahead.
Exciting times ahead. Have a great season, Jay, and try those jelly deals before the season's out.
All right, I'll have a go, yeah.
I bet he doesn't.
No, something tells me that he won't give it a try.
I don't think he'll give it a try.
Anyway, I love that cutting rugby league journalism.
Look, people want to know these stuff.
They do. They want to know if people's tried jelly deals.
Jelly deals, pie and mash.
I definitely have the pie and mash. I'm a pie and mash sort of guy, I think.
Jay Pitt's club captain at the London Broncos, and they're doing great stuff off the field, getting the raising the profile of the game and getting Londoners playing the game of rugby. But sadly, when they unearth a gem of a player, they quickly lose them to the big guns of Super League.
Yeah, you can count them, can't you, down the years. Tony Club,
Dan
Sarginson, you've got Kieran Dixon. I know he's back there, but he had to go away, didn't he, to go and play some rugby league. And
who's the guy Hull just signed?
Lewis Bienek.
Yeah.
Lewis Bienek, he's got a lot of potential, that kid, to be honest. He's absolutely massive. Big prop forward. I'm sure that he'll go down a storm there at Hull. But I think that they are also developing in a slightly different way, because now they're under-16s, under-19s teams, which have traditionally been battered by the northern side.
Yeah.
They're holding their own and they're winning some. They actually beat Wigan last year at under-16s level, which had never been done before. So they obviously are creating the players. It's like you said, though, it's just a case of trying to keep hold of them and promote them from within, which is certainly sounding like what they're doing and what Ward has done a really good job of there.
I know we mentioned to him the key is now to maintain how they started the season, but obviously the main aim is, can they get back into Super League?
You'd like to think long term.
Eventually.
That they can, yes. Certainly, they would have to do a certain amount of improvements at the ground where they're at the moment. Although they can call it the home, and it's very good that Trailfinders have accepted them with open arms, I honestly think as well that, there's still a little bit of an issue there with kind of like how many that ground holds, the type of surrounds around it and what have you. So I certainly hope that the Broncos can move on. I know they're a good team. I know they've got some great players. They've got some really good people behind them. And I wish them nothing but the best, to be honest.
London have had a great start. Lee, not so great. And Kieran Purcell is the man in charge at the moment. And he's got off to a flying start, hasn't he? Two wins over the Easter period, which ended a miserable weekend for London Broncos on Monday.
Yeah, and it's nice to see Lee playing with a little bit of confidence. Certainly that's something that they were a bit bereft of at the start of the season, and then you've only got to go back a few short weeks to when they held winning positions against both Toulouse and Featherstone and ended up giving it away. But it's now four wins on the bounce for Kieran Purtle in charge of Lee, and this is what he had to say to me after the game.
Yeah, I thought, today I thought we were fantastic. Defensively, we were really, really good. We played, in the conditions as well. I thought we threw the ball around a little bit and thought we deserved what we got out of the game today.
6-6 at half-time. Again, it was sort of tit-for-tat, really, first half, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. They scored just before we came in, but I thought we were dominant all the way through the game. And we knew London were dangerous and they keep coming at us, but... I thought just our effort today and our endeavour was brilliant.
And you've got to be pleased with that on the back of like the efforts of Friday as well.
Yeah, you forget sometimes watching that game that we played on Friday, but the energy we had and the stuff we brought to the game was brilliant. Our forwards were absolutely fantastic today. Some guys in there did really big minutes, and I'm really, really pleased with what we've done.
John Thompson in particular standing up, I think.
Yeah, Tomo was brilliant. 80 minutes in the middle. It takes some doing at any level. Jamie Acton was good. I thought Kyle Levett was good. Nathan Mason, all of them. Mickey Ayamuddy, they were all brilliant today. And I think today was a real, real good team effort, on the field and off the field to get us ready to play after playing on Friday.
And there were times that really needed controlling out there, weren't there, with the deep kicking games that came around?
Yeah, it's game management, and I think we're growing into it. It's obvious if you're looking at us, we're coming together as a team now and we're turning up for each other, and we can't ask any more of each other than that.
From a personal point of view, you've obviously seen four wins in a row, which at any level is a great achievement, especially at Easter when the fixtures are piling up.
Yeah, every week we just take it as it comes. Every game's important for us, and four wins in a row is not good enough to get us where we need to as a club. We need to keep winning, and we need to push on towards that top four and hopefully get the club back where it belongs.
he's the man in charge at the minute. No announcement regarding future coaches as such. I just don't know why they don't give it Kieran Pirtle.
To be honest, I think he's served the longest apprenticeship in rugby league history, hasn't he? He's been at St Helens, he's been at Huddersfield, he's led the England Knights. Just give him the
job. Come on, Derek, give him the job. Give him the chance.
I think that he's earned his spurs as well, because he finally seems to be getting something out of this squad that not a lot of people were doing beforehand. So, as I say, they're no way the finished article, but they're playing a lot better, and you know, that sort of like 7 out of 10 performance was enough to account for London Broncos.
No pressure on them, by the way. They want to make the top four. They're going to have to remain unbeaten between now and the split.
We'll take it week by week. That's what they'll say. That, you know that rugby league mantra is coming, don't you?
One match at a time.
Just 80 minutes. The next 80 minutes is the most important.
League One, we mentioned, only played one round over the Easter period. Round five it was. London Scholars winning the Battle of London against Hemel Stags, 18-12. Keighley defeated Huntsler, 38-22. A big win in the Welsh Derby for North Wales Crusaders, defeating West Wales, 54-6. Newcastle Thunder continue their good form with a 32-18 victory against Coventry Bears. The match of the weekend in League One, or one of the matches, was Donny versus York, and York won that one, despite being a man down as well, 16-14.
Just by the odd couple of points, really close one.
The Cumbrian Derby, Whitehaven won that one, 14-12 against Workington, and a big win for Bradford Bulls, who remain unbeaten in League One, having seen off Oldham, 30-12.
Did you see the end of that Whitehaven game? Somebody put it on. And there was a fantastic passing movement. Must have had about six passes down the right-hand side before they went over for the match-clinching try. And you remember Darren Abram?
I do.
His lad kicked the goal to win.
Wow.
So there you go.
There's a rugby league name from the past.
Yeah, Dan Abram in great form at the moment for Whitehaven. Since being switched to fullback, as you mentioned, the Bradford Bulls certainly piling the points on in the second half against Oldham. But yeah, for me, that York result is a superb one.
Outstanding.
Doncaster have been really, really good so far this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that one pans out in League One, because everyone's tipping Bradford. But you know, teams like, say, Oldham, and I'm sure Keighley, Huntsler, York and Donny will have a say on matters. And I'm sure Workington and Whitehaven will as well.
And not to mention Newcastle.
And Newcastle, see?
See, everybody's saying that all the stories are in the top two divisions. But for me, I think we're going to have to keep a close eye on League One, because that is certainly developing and is certainly the slow burner of the season.
Without a doubt. It's like two leagues in one, though, isn't it? You've got all the Northern clubs in the top nine, with Bradford leading the way, and then in the bottom half, it's North Wales leading the way with the so-called expansion clubs.
Yeah, and to be honest, you'd have to expect that, wouldn't you? Because obviously those teams further up the league have a little bit more money to spend and a little bit more infrastructure. But it is going to be intriguing how it all pans out, and we'll certainly keep you up to date.
That was the final That was the final.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.